when I was in Bible college, one of the verses that we had to memorize was Acts 4:12. And that is our call to worship this morning. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I memorized it in the King James Version, which is a long time ago. So that's the call to worship today. I'll be back for announcements after this song. Stay up here if you like.
Okay.
Good to have everyone here, and the Oshers are here. I've been waiting for you to be back. Good to see you here. And I believe we have a birthday guy here who's coming up this week. We've got to sing happy birthday to Bob. Oh, and it's Becky, too. All right. Well, then, who else has birthdays in April? Oh, Donna. And who else over here? All right. Those that have birthdays in April, just stand, and we're going to sing happy birthday to all of our friends so that we don't miss out anyone. Look at this. Wowie zowie. All right. Let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you.
Now, you may be seated. Now, who has a birthday in April but did not stand? Usually there's some of those we never will know. Anyway. Good to have you here this morning. Just want you to know that the semi-annual report is available back by the sound booth. If you haven't picked one up, you can sure do that. Read it. It's a great way to really find out what Harbor of Joy is really about. And there's a lot of information in here, a lot of things that go on that probably a person doesn't realize until you go through it. And you go, by the time you get to the end, you're going to go like, wow, didn't realize that was all part of this church. So, they are available to you, and some of the announcements are that next Sunday we will have our semi-annual business meeting. We'll have a short break after the service, then we'll come back in here. Members and non-members, friends of Harbor Joy can come and be a part of that. It's just that you need to be a member in order to vote on anything that's going to be voted on. So that's something that'll take place next Sunday. And keep the people in your prayer requests and the bulletin before the Lord, as Marlene Jazz and especially Pastor Tim Knoppe, who is having open heart surgery this Tuesday, not in June, but in April. Just want you to know that. Remember last week? Yeah, that's why I make sure it's April. This coming Tuesday, keep him in your prayers as well as Bev. With that taking place. Do want you to know that there is the closing program this Wednesday for the Joy Kids and Joy Us Kids. The supper will be first at 5:15. Confirmation kids will not have supper because they're going to be with me. But they will get something to eat afterwards. And just want you to know that the program will be at 6 o'clock. And that's why the risers up here are still here. The kids will be up front. And they will put on a program at 6 o'clock. And everyone is welcome to be a part of that or come to that as well. The only other thing I want you to know is that there's a correction under the last, at the end of the insert in the bulletin. Patty Griffiths will be on radio, not next Sunday, the 28th, but it won't be until May 5th at 7:50 a.m. That's a Sunday. Just to make sure that you can catch her on the radio. It's not what it says here in the bulletin. It's the following, the first Sunday in May. So make that notation as well. And just want to say thank you to the new Blackstone Grill. And I think we got the best cooks ever who know how to run it. Thank you, Don and Jeff, for doing that. And Dean, looking around. He's not here, but it's because of Dean we got the Blackstone Grill. And Dean is like a Texan. He thinks big. And so I go like, yeah, it's about time, because that little barbecue thing we had was just too small to get things done the way that Dean likes to. He provides or go gets the hamburger and the hot dogs, whatever we have to grill. It's from him, and sometimes Jeff Kyle does too with some of the pork. I think some pulled pork we've had with Jeff. And I wasn't supposed to say his name on any of that, but thanks, Jeff, for doing that. And thank you, Don, for always being so faithful and coming and flipping and getting things ready. That's just wonderful. So that's all I'm going to say. Just have a word of prayer together this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that has come through the doors today, everyone that is here in this sanctuary, because, Lord, you are here. And the very and the most important thing is just that you are here wanting to work and to reach every heart that is here today and to touch our lives, every one of us. And Lord, I'm no super Christian by any means. And so it's like, I just pray that you help me to preach today and to give your word as you would want me to. And we thank you, Lord, for the praise band and the praise team that we have. And we know that CJ is probably not here yet, but he's coming. We're grateful for those that went down south for such a beautiful, mild winter, except for January. But we're glad to have all of them back with us. And there's still probably some still coming that we are looking forward to as well. So, Lord, today is your day, as every day is. May we be glad and rejoice in it. And we're thankful for the friends, the people that you have brought into our lives and the paths that have crossed during this time, that we can encourage and love you as well as those around us. So use this day of just touching our hearts and our lives. Forgive us of our sins. And may we rejoice because we know what you have done for us in dying on the cross and rising again on the third day. And you've given us your Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus Christ who lives in every believer's heart in life. We could not live for you without that. And so we praise your name and thank you for all that takes place. Be with Pastor Knoppe as he undergoes surgery. Be with Marlene, Jazz as well, Lord, with swallowing issues. And Lord, there's nothing impossible with you, nothing. And no matter what is said by doctors, whatever is done by doctors, Lord, we know that you are the great physician, and it is you who we need and who we lean on and who we trust in times like these today. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, responsive reading. Responsive reading comes from a wonderful psalm that many of you have heard at least once in your life, Psalm 23. It is one of those psalms that is often probably even said at a graveside. It's a psalm that is said with the family before the funeral service begins. It's a psalm that just brings comfort and has brought comfort to millions of people over the years. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit. Work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name of all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see your face. There I'll serve my King forever in that glory.
I invite you to stand as the praise band also goes down to be seated as we hear God's word today. It's always a joy to be able to know that God has something to say to us over and over again because we forget a lot of things. We need to hear his word again and again. His word comes to us in John chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's the New Testament, the last of the gospel writers, verses 11 through 18. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see Jesus today in your text here. He voluntarily went to the cross, even though we see it that he was executed. But he did this on his own accord. And it wasn't just to die for us, Lord, but he also had the authority to lift up his own life, to come back from the dead, to come back from the grave, as no one else has ever been able to do. And so, Lord, use your word today and help me to preach it, to bring glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to, first of all, to notice this. Jesus did not say, "I am the shepherd." But he calls himself the good shepherd. Very important. The picture of a shepherd tending his sheep would be very common in the day of Jesus. But what makes him good? What makes him to be a good shepherd? The same way someone would call someone a good farmer. A good farmer is based on the actions of what he does, how he cares for his land, what he does to the land. Does he pick the rocks off his field? If you see a lot of rocks, you'd go like, "Man, I don't know why he doesn't pick those rocks." If he doesn't take care of his fields, if there does not have weed control, if you see we call it a dirty field, if you see a lot of weeds in somebody's cropland, and you go like, "Why didn't he use herbicide? You know, why does he let all those weeds grow like he does?" Those are just some of the few signs that a farmer shows that he's a good farmer. Oftentimes, remember, my dad would say, "Now make sure you got straight rows, especially along the highway or the roads. Make sure they're straight." And I'm kind of going like, "Why?" Because people see them. You don't want people to think that you're a bad farmer, can't plant anything or seed anything straight. I go, "Oh, okay." So he says, "Now here's how you do that. You look at the horizon, you pick out one spot, and you just aim for that. Put the middle of the tractor thing on front and go for that." Well, after going over some rock piles and tearing up some fences, probably not a good idea. But I learned through that kind of a thing too. The same goes for the shepherd. Does he care about his sheep? How does he watch over the flock? Does it matter to him how he tends to his sheep? Does he provide good pasture and water for them? Does he know when there's a sheep that is sick and that is injured, or one that is missing or has gone astray? Are the sheep calm when they see him and go toward him? They don't run away from him because they know that he is the shepherd who takes care of them. So do the sheep, are they glad to see him because they don't run away, but they stay put where they are, or they come near to him? Does the shepherd pat the sheep on the head or rub their backs or even scratch between their ears when he sees them? It shows that he cares for them. And sometimes the shepherd may even hug the sheep. To all you huggers out there, you know what that's like. Feels good to be hugged, for the most part. I won't mention any names. There's some here that don't like to be hugged. But they will give you a handshake. There is no picture that shows the relationship of God with his people as good as what we have here of a shepherd and his flock. God is our shepherd and who cares about each and every one of us who are in his flock. He tends and supplies our needs as we look to and follow him by being dependent on him and to obey him in humility. That's why we go to him. He's a good God. He's a wonderful God who loves and cares for us even better than what we see as a shepherd would do with his sheep. We have a contrast here in our text between a good shepherd and that of a hired hand. Most true Christians remember a time when he or she was restless and unsatisfied with their lives or what was going on in their lives. Most Christians think of those times, because they knew that they were separated from Jesus Christ and they didn't have eternal life. They didn't know that their sins were forgiven. Anybody here who's like that? Just dissatisfied, looking for a lot of things, not sure what it was, but nothing brought contentment to you until you knew that your sins had been forgiven. You've come to know Jesus in a personal way. You heard about him a lot, but you never knew him. We know that Jesus came for us. He came looking for each and every one of us and to seek us out. We didn't go to him. He first loved us, remember? And we are drawn to him of what he did for us. His love was demonstrated as he went to the cross and died for us. And we have eternal life. As John points out in John 3:16, I've mentioned this to the confirmation class. I said, you know, there's one verse that sums up the entire Bible. John 3:16. It's interesting to know that there are some kids that have never heard that before. They didn't know that. Just like they didn't know the Ten Commandments. And I'm just pleased as punch to tell you today that the class that I've been having this last year, in September, last September, I said, so what's one commandment that you can remember or that you know of? None of them could give one commandment. Last week, I said, so tell me the Ten Commandments, because we just finished up the Ten Commandments. Tell me them in order. And kind of the least likely guy said, I can do that. I said, okay, go. And he went like a knife, hot knife cutting butter. And I had to stop, and I just said to the class, do you remember last September, none of you would even know what the Ten Commandments were? And they all, yeah, we didn't know. And I said, now look at you now. You know them. And you can say them in order. So I get to call on somebody here today who can, you know, older than they are, who can tell me the Ten Commandments in order. So who will that be? I'm only kidding. I won't put anyone on the spot. But it just goes to show that we need to be taught, and we need to hear God's word time and time again. those who have come to the flock of Jesus Christ realize that once in their life, and maybe it was more than once, what it was like to travel in a dreary desert of dissatisfaction and unrest, to know what danger is, and to also know that death is very real. And if it wouldn't have been for the Lord being involved in their lives, even without them knowing it, it was He who was always with them, and it is He as the Good Shepherd who would take you to a place where there was an oasis, where there was rest and water, living water, because He knew you were thirsty. And He gave you eternal life as you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to believe what He did for you. It's all about Him, not about you. It's what He has done. It's a wonderful thing to try to grasp. I grasped it just a little bit. But it's wonderful to know that everything that we have, it's because God thought of it first and has given it to us. On the other hand, the contrast is the hired hand. And it says here in the scripture that the hired hand doesn't own the sheep. He's just there helping. He's kind of there for a paycheck. But they don't belong to him. If the wolf shows up or some kind of predator comes to the flock and they kind of scatter and get all shaken up and they get afraid and frightened, what does the hired hand do? He does the same thing as the sheep. He gets afraid and he runs too. But not so with the shepherd. The shepherd stays with us through the thick and through the thin. What's very interesting, I never saw this before in this text, but a lot of this, what Jesus says here, follows what happens in chapter 9 of John. All of chapter 9 deals with the healing of a guy who was born blind, and Jesus heals him. He gets his sight back. And the Pharisees come, and they go like, "Who are you, and were you really blind or not?" And they go, "Where are your parents? We'll talk to your parents to find out if you are really blind or if you're just pulling the wool over our eyes." And so they came to the parents. The Pharisees found the parents, or they went to the parents. They said, "Was your son really blind?" And their answer to the Pharisees was, "Well, ask him. He'll tell you." And the reason they said that, because if they would have stuck up for their son and told him that this man from Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had just healed him, they would get thrown out of their church, out of their synagogue. So rather than answering them, they just said, "Well, ask him," because how old is he at this point in time? He is 40 years old. Do you think somebody who's 40 knows if they were blind or not? I think so. And so they asked him, and he's going, "I was blind. How do I know who healed me?" All I know what his name was. But later on, he does come in contact with Jesus. And Jesus just asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he said, "I do. You can see." And so it's no wonder that Jesus makes his fourth statement about "I am," talking about himself. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I'm not like those Pharisees and how they treated you and what they said in unbelief towards me." It's no wonder he says, "I am the good shepherd." The Pharisees wanted to be shepherds, but they were not good. They did not believe even what they taught. They did the opposite. Hypocrites in so many ways. And Jesus even mentioned that to them, that they were like robbers and thieves. Because they knew God's word, but they never, ever explained it to the people. They never lived it. Sounds like us sometimes, doesn't it? Or maybe a lot of times. If we believe it, then let's live it. And here's what makes the shepherd good. Short things. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep knows the shepherd. They know his voice. They know that they're going to be well taken care of. Because he laid down his life for the sheep, he voluntarily died on the cross for his sheep. That's us. And he had authority from his Father. And we found this out over Lent, in looking at the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, where Jesus said over and over again that he just wanted to glorify his Father because he and the Father were one. There's a unity there. And he's got the authority from his Father that he could come back even though he died. He laid his life down, but he had the authority to come back to life, which he did, and proved that to being seen by a number of people before he ascended into heaven. So the good shepherd cares for each individual of the flock. He cares for you. Think of that. You might ask, well, why should he care for me? Because you're his sheep. He's the good shepherd. A good shepherd will do that. The last part I'll get to that in a little bit here. But Jesus comes for all men and women, individually, overlooking none, despising none, doesn't matter what you've done in the past, the way you are today. He still loves you and cares for you and always has. Each person in the flock, because there can be some outside of the flock, each person in the flock can say this: the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because I know that I am known by the Lord. Therefore I can say, I know the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus. The Lord knows his sheep even when they wander away from the church or wander away from the flock. Jesus cares about the person who is immature, feeble, and forgetful. Aren't you glad that God still loves you even when you forget? I appreciate that more and more. The older I get, forget things. And even talking and listening to some of you, you kind of go like, oh, I can't think of it right now. It'll come to me, just wait. I'll wait. And it comes. Or if you can't think of it, I go like, doesn't matter. I probably don't know the person anyway or what you're talking about. Just tell me your point, what you're going to get to. But sometimes we feel bad that we can't remember things like we used to. But Jesus still cares. Jesus knows who is struggling here this morning. Who's going through some difficult things in his or her life. Those who just have doubts. Doubting. Anybody here have doubts on anything? About God, about what the Bible says, about just life. God cares for you. And sometimes it's not that we know all the answers, But the one answer we need to know is that we know the Good Shepherd, Jesus. If you can't say that, then you have nothing. You don't have hope, and you have nothing to look forward to. Peter, who is one of the disciples, he writes this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. And this is in reference to spiritual leadership. It goes with leadership in churches, whatever. It says this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. He says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears," who's Jesus, "when Jesus appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." It's worth it. It's worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you came to all of us. You're here today. You're coming again today. Because you love us and you care about us, because you are the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd sometimes waits a long time thinking about the sheep. Sometimes the Good Shepherd works long, long days, because he loves the sheep. And anything that you love doing, it's really not work. So thank you, Lord, for how you are to us. What you've done for us, how you care for us, how you think about us each and every day. Thank you for your love. Where we can say, Lord, that it's not just my cup that overflows, but it's my heart. My heart overflows with the love that you have put in it that will touch other people's lives each day. So, Lord, we pray these things because there are other sheep that are not of the flock that you want us to be involved in reaching out to them. Matter of fact, it's could be just even us, one of us here, a Gentile. You went out to give your word to the Gentiles through the Apostle Paul. Peter went to the Jews. And so there's other sheep that are not in the flock yet, but through working in the lives of those that know you, they will be talking to those others to come and be a part of the flock, that they can join in as well because of you, our chief shepherd. So, Lord, bless these words today. May we ponder them, may we think about them, but may most of all, Lord, may they come and be a part of our lives as they become living words in our hearts. May that be the best thing ever. And to come to believe and have faith in you and receive the hope that you give. May we never forget that hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't need to say anything more than just show you this. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Before we sing the last song, I just want to say some of you came back to Iowa, came back, we call it home, after being gone. And you missed out on the big egg bake thing last Sunday. We did not do that intentionally to make you feel bad, but it was awesome and it was great. So we don't have that today, but there is refreshments afterwards that you're more than welcome to be a part of as well. And I will let, as they're talking it over, how they're going to end the service, I'll just say, Lord, may you bless each heart that is here today, and may we find the fellowship of Jesus Christ here at work in our lives. May you bless these words that we heard today in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah. Me? Oh, me and you? How are we doing this?
I'm just singing.
Okay.
Except we're not brothers.
I think you've lost that love and feeling.
I think they have. I'm coming on back.
Be careful there, Bob.
Now let's turn into the unrighteous. Either way,
I'll just sing with you.
We will glorify as we hear these words. We're going to sing them, but I thought, my goodness gracious, we are empowered to be a people that praise the Lord and glorify Him. So, here we go.
Glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. righteousness, we'll worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
Go in peace.
Peace. Serve the Lord. You're dismissed. The righteous brothers.